You're listening to Around Comics, episode 104.
This is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I'm joined, as always, by the co-host of the show, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Hello.
And Mr. Tom Caters.
Goodbye.
It's like a Beatles song. Yeah. It's one of my favorite Beatles songs.
I'm working with John now.
Come on over,
at the mix?
There's room in the word balloon
mix.
Pool. Are you coming with me to the mix?
He's going
excellent.
To the mix.
Excellent. This is Tom. He's my helper monkey.
Yeah.
Well, speaking
of... It's a mix of music the entire family can agree upon.
Speaking of John and goodbyes, we're missing our Around Comics regular. He's going on to greener pastures.
I don't fucking miss him. No, I'm so weird.
Well, they are greener. I guess I'm getting paid, so I guess that's...
Yeah, I'm sort of a losing proposition here.
Yeah, I got a new radio gig, so unfortunately I won't be able to play on Fridays with the boys anymore, so this is my for now.
Well, actually,
but, I mean, I'll come back
actually John, we found out that the recording equipment at the mix is better than what we have here at Dark Tower, so we're moving the show
excellent.
To the mix.
That'd be awesome.
And so we'll see you next Friday at 6:30 work for you.
Sure.
All right.
Cool. That'd be great, man.
All right.
Jeff Corder would like it, the nighttime host at the mix. He's a comic book fan.
All right. Rounding out the round table is, and there's like some sort of baton passing ceremony we're
some
doing here.
Some might refer to it as the jumping
of a
shark.
Are you taking over, Scotty? Are you the new chef?
I don't know. Sal doesn't like me anymore.
All right.
It's just creative differences, Scotty. Come on.
I like it.
Yeah, so ends one era, so begins another.
He's not going to show up again.
I know he's not. Yeah.
He has all this big to do, and he's not going to come back.
Scotty Young?
Beep, burp, burp,
how you doing, buddy?
Well, hi.
Wow. Ego Scotty didn't show up. Scotty's ego didn't show up today.
Sal hurt my feelings.
What did I say?
I tried to protect him by telling his segment was stupid.
A segment you'll hear later this
yeah.
week.
All right, folks, today's topic, we're going to be talking about comics.
That's what I'm artist of.
We're going to be talking about comics under the radar. That's comics not in Diamond's
Over
Top 100. The stuff that we like, we're going to get to that in just a few moments. But first, I'd like to let you know that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by InStockTrades.com.
Waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of collected editions you need. InStockTrades.com is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more. All at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 ship free. Whether you're buying an absolute edition or catching up with showcase and essentials, InStockTrades.com is your new best friend.
Around comics,
and it won't tell you that they hate your new segment.
Yeah, in stock trades will never tell you that your ideas are bad. Free shipping. All it'll say is free shipping.
Free shipping.
$50, you're good. Free all right, shipping. Get out of here, kid. All right, Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago, the city of broad shoulders, the hog butcher of the world. That's other than everyone's fine.
Fucking go.
If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you.
Bring your own beer. And remember, your Around Comics experience isn't complete until you've read this week's Long Box of Love. Each Thursday episode of Around Comics has a wonderfully handcrafted webcomic from Brian Bowles. Check it out every Thursday at AroundComics.com as long as I remember to put it up.
And remember about our latest contest. It is our Be a Hero contest. Yes, Scotty, I said latest and not new. Are you happy? The contest rules.
Eyes lit up.
The contest rules are simple.
Like a proud papa.
Make a donation at heroinitiative.org, then send us an email at hero@aroundcomics.com letting us know that you did so. Everyone that makes a donation is entered into a drawing that will take place at the end of June. Contest is being sponsored by InStockTrades.com. They're including two $50 gift certificates, good for anything at InStock Trades. In addition to a $50 gift certificate, the winner will receive a prize pack, including a one-of-a-kind hardcover edition of Jeffrey Brown's I'm Going to Be Small. Jeffrey has not only signed, but has done a fantastic two-page illustration on the inside cover of the book. Other prizes include a hardcover Scotty Young sketchbook with a Scotty Young unique sketch. We're going to get some other area folks to include some stuff in the prize pack. So, Burnham, you'll throw something in, won't you?
We're going to
Elephant Man sketch.
Yeah, twist their arms.
I want that Indiana Jones sketch you did Wednesday night.
All right. Chris Burnham's in. We're going to get probably Norton to throw something in. So, anyway, it's a chance to do something good for a great charity and possibly win a great prize pack. So,
yes.
Please take us up on that. We already have had a couple people do so. So, join in the fun and do something good.
And just think, right now there's only like two people that have entered. So, if you enter, you got like a 33% chance of winning.
And a third. All right. All right, folks, as I said a couple minutes ago, our main topic is comics under the radar.
Yeah.
Most comic fans know about most of the books that sell in Diamond's Top 100, but don't stop there. We're living in a time where there are hundreds, literally, of quality comics to check out. The variety of genres and styles of comics has exploded, and it can be overwhelming to try and find the hidden gems that could be your new favorite books. Today, we're going to dig past the top 100 and take a look at some of our favorite under-the-radar titles.
Under the radar! Should be like a submarine sound.
Yeah, you need that voice at the bottom of the sea sound, exactly.
All right, so this is kind of like a top of the stack. So what we're going to do, we're just going to round table this. It is a round table show, right? So that sounds like
We do one at a time?
We'll do one at a time, and someone will bring up a book, and we'll talk about it.
I always go first.
Come on, Scotty.
What?
You know, it's Tom. He's got to go first. Come on.
Usually I would go, I'm Tom Caters, I go first. But now he's mustache Peterbilt still. So I'm Tom Caters, man, I'm go first.
I always go first, man.
You know why? Because first is number one, and America's number one. These colors don't run or bleed.
I won the Division I State Football Championship in 1994. I threw an 80-yard flea flicker pass.
Well, you know what number two is, Scotty, right?
Number two is nothing in my book,
buddy. That's just first loser.
We're talking about people that aren't even the first loser. We're talking about everyone way down the
At least the 101st. Yeah.
This is the 101st.
These are super losers. Yeah.
All right, Mr. Caters, what is your first under the radar?
My first one that I sort of picked out looking at this list is Stormwatch PhD.
Ooh, you stole one of mine.
Well, I said right out loud before I said it. So I didn't really steal it. I grabbed it out of the ether.
Ooh.
About the ideas.
Yes, well, I will agree with you.
It's written by Christos Gage, and the art so far has been done by Doug Mankey, but he's going to be off the book.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Sort of sad about that. But I've never given a shit about Stormwatch previously. I had no idea who any of the characters are or any of the history to it, but I picked it up, and I completely understood what was going on. He gives you enough to go on to make the stories interesting. You don't need to freak out, like, I don't understand, what is that, is that demon guy, am I supposed to know who he is? Like, he's a demon, so he's evil. And, you know, so
that's all you need to know.
Yeah, he's evil, you get the good guys, you get the bad guys. The plot is, it's like sort of a strip down, what if you actually had to put a budget on Stormwatch, where they can't just get whoever they want. It's like a mix of human beings and superheroes, and it's a lot of what you would consider underpowered characters fighting super-powered villains and how they get by. The
former powered people that have lost their powers.
Yeah. And
led by a police officer.
Yeah. And it's good. I enjoyed it. I think it should sell more. You should buy it.
It's a good police combination superhero police procedure book, too. And I think that's really neat. And Chris has experience writing for procedural shows. And I think it shows in the book. He's really...
What is he written for?
He's written for Numbers, and I know he's written for Law & Order as well.
Okay.
And he's very, very cool. His dad is an amazing novelist as well. But Chris is fine writer, and I always look forward to his comic book work.
Yeah, I think it's one of those books that if you had read Stormwatch in the past, or you had been a fan of that Wildstorm universe with the Daemonites and all that stuff, it includes that in a way that will appeal to longtime readers, but like Tom said, you don't have to know about that stuff.
Right.
It gives you everything.
And it's
you
not
need
the same old thing either. It's sort of a pocket section of that universe.
It's a lot of the little used characters from them.
Yeah, it's the street level book. Yeah. It really is one of the street level books, I think, in the Wild.
I had no interest in that book whatsoever because Stormwatch, whatever, it was like with the whole Wildstorm relaunch. That was one of the books I just didn't care about. But then I read a few.
That's good. Issues.
Yeah, it was very good, very entertaining.
All right, Sal, what's your first under the radar?
My first one is a book from Dark Horse. Originally, it was the Image Comics book called Rex Mundi, but it's recently moved over to Dark Horse. It's done by it was originally created by Arvid Nelson and Eric J. Eric J. was the artist, but he eventually left the book, and now it's being penciled by Juan Ferreria. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but anyway, it's basically a quest for the Holy Grail, sort of told as a murder mystery. Very what was that Dan Brown book?
Angels and Devils, or
yeah, I can't think of it.
The Da Vinci Code.
Very much sort of in that realm, but it's set in a alternate universe of France in 1800s, I want to say.
It's like 1900s.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
But it's an alternate reality Europe where the Roman Catholic Church never fell out of power.
Exactly. The seat of real global power still rests in Europe, as opposed to the American...
The Protestant Reformation
it does have kind of an 1800s feel in a lot of the politics.
It's 1933, actually, now that I look at my notes that I wasn't paying attention to. but it's a fascinating book, and it really plays on a lot of sort of conspiracy theory stuff and even a lot of real-world things that go along with that whole Holy Grail and the Knights Templar and a lot of that kind of stuff. So if you're interested in that, the art on the first two trades of it by Eric J. is just fantastic, and Juan Ferrer's stuff is just picked up and is just as good as Eric's stuff. And it's a really sort of dense book that gets into a lot of different subplots and politics, and it's not your sort of action adventure kind of thing. There's a lot of different things in there, but also with this alternate reality, there's a bit of mysticism and dark magic and different things, and there's just so many different things sort of folded into this book, and it's really entertaining. And there's two trades out from Image. And then the third trade, I believe, is out from Dark Horse already, and it's an ongoing monthly title. I'm reading it.
Dark Horse is actually re-releasing.
they are re-releasing the first two trades also from Dark Horse. But it's a really good book, and I don't think a lot of people have caught on to it. And I remember, I think Chris, you had turned me onto this book, and when I first picked it up and read the first trade, I was like, "Wow, why did I not read this before? I wish it's just so good."
It kind of almost has the feel, if you liked the third Indiana Jones movie where they have to find the Holy Grail.
There's been a lot of books and fiction and nonfiction stuff that has come out, or supposedly nonfiction stuff, about the entire history of the Holy Grail and the Knights Templar and a lot of the conspiracies with the Roman Catholic Church and all that stuff is wrapped into this, but it's also set in a fake world where other things can come into play, and it's really good stuff.
And the creative team comes through too with including fake newspaper articles from that time and maps.
Yeah,
we all love
maps.
Maps.
It's hilarious because America is there, but it's still the colonies. It's still the British colony, and it really is this insignificant large landmass.
It's a very deeply thought out story, universe and world that Arvid Nelson created.
Very immersive.
And it's just starting to really get into how wide, how big of an epic story this is going to be.
And a pretty famous guy actually got the book's this person caught on to the book and wanted to develop it into a movie. Johnny Depp.
He wants to play the lead character in that.
And I know Eric J. and Arvid are very happy.
I'm sure they're excited.
If he's involved.
If you find their site online, there's actually a great webcomic that I think is only available online that has a supplemental story. Which is and go to the website.
It's Rex Mundi.
RexMundi.com.
I think it's RexMundiComic.com or something like that.
Get the first trade and then check out the website because there's so much supplemental.
There's even stuff
ridiculous.
They use stuff that you know, conspiracy theorists have been talking about for a long time in this, that you can go and, like, you know, there's paintings and, yeah, stuff that is involved that you can go and find out, like,
Rex Mundi means. It's,
oh, God, you're putting me on the spot. I don't remember.
Both ways before you press.
I don't remember, like, honestly.
Word of God or something.
Yeah, something
like that. Rex is King.
Mundi.
Oh, King of the World. It means King of the World. That's it.
But real good stuff.
Yeah. Mr. Young.
Are we, do you just pick one, or are we going around and around?
We're going to go around.
Yeah. We have a few.
Let's get as many in. Let's get as many stuff in that people should read.
Stuff it in.
Are we supposed to tell what number it is?
No.
No.
I like 140.
You know, actually, yeah.
You could. I don't even know Rex Mundi's.
By the way, this is from the ICV2 list. These, what we're looking off of is April's top 300, so.
Right. Well, so this is just outside of the top 100, and I've talked about it on here before, but and I don't even buy the single issue. So, but DMZ,
I'm reading in trades too.
Yeah, I buy the trades of that. I think I haven't tried it in single issue, but I would almost say it has to be this kind of story. The way this story is written, in the style and setting that it is, I would almost say it needs to be read in trade format just to be able to really sink your teeth into the world. But DMZ is definitely a book that I think is I think it's on, you know, the, like, hardcore comic guys are we've heard of it, but yeah,
right.
it's a book that if there was any book that I was going to run out and tell, you know, the non-comic book people to read and think that they would actually come back to me and go, oh, that was good. A book with drawings of people and word balloons. Usually it's a hard concept for people to wrap, but I think when people get done...
A smart, politically relevant
Yeah, I
book.
Think if they got... If they read through this book, they would actually be surprised that not all comic books have to do with
capes and
superheroes.
Or Archie. And,
you know, I let my girlfriend read this, and you know, I kind of begged her to read it. Just please read it.
Please read it.
She read it, and... was surprised at how much she enjoyed it, and first thing she said was, you know, I could really see this being an HBO series or, you know,
no question,
a weekly television series. And it is that kind of book. It takes itself serious in the way of storytelling. It doesn't it's not falling into the superhero or your typical comic book devices of telling a story.
Give the general plot.
It's basically the world, or the United States, is in a civil war, and Manhattan is the demilitarized zone, which seems all nice and like, oh, that's the safe place, but it's kind of a war zone in itself.
It's caught in the crossfire between these two fractions.
A journalist who's kind of dropped into the DMZ as an assistant, and within the first, you know, few pages, he's not the assistant anymore. And I don't want to ruin, you know, for people who haven't read it, I don't want to, because it starts like that.
Yeah.
It's not a slow burn book. It gets you right in and throws some things at you right away. But just seeing what, it's really like, wow, this is the type of thing that it could happen.
It could happen, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's what if the militias got organized.
What if Tom's people?
Well, you know, imagine a world where most of the military is overseas fighting a war that the general population is very
imagine
crazy world.
I thought you said this was
that people become very distrustful of their government.
What?
That you know, their rights become infringed on, their freedoms become,
they take up arms,
and the militias get organized, take up arms, and by the time that
the government
is able to get troops back and get it under control, they've taken over half the country.
So it's a book about kind of survivors of this going on. It's a book about
and how
from the different factions
of the
militia. It's about
and it's
propaganda
also,
from both sides.
And it's also years into this civil war. It's not
right.
This just happened.
Right.
This happened years ago, and now it's you have this demilitarized zone. And the world, the government has been dealing with this problem or trying to deal with it, and it's sort of a stalemate. But you know, and you dump this guy into the situation.
That's what I say. It's about the propaganda, is because it's not just showing how it starts. It's also, you get to see the propaganda put on everybody
trying to convince you, like, oh, this is good.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, we're right and they're wrong. And just, you know, again, imagine a crazy world where that would happen.
Well, brilliant.
Yeah, and it's, yeah. And it's a situation where you're seeing how these people that have been in the DMZ for, it's probably, what, 5 years that
something,
this has been going
yeah.
on?
Something like that, yeah.
Not
remember.
Everyone was able to get out of New York.
And not so everybody people, chose
and
to.
Not everybody yeah. wanted to.
Yeah, yeah. Not everybody
it's
wanted
like,
to.
It's like, hey, this is my home. And it's how have they survived.
And that's what the book is. It's more about the people that stayed, the people that are there, mm-hmm. than the war. Right. I mean, it's about them dealing with being caught in this situation. And it's,
like, do you want to live really shitty but be free?
Right.
You know, and in shitty conditions and be free, or, you know, have, like, oh...
The illusion so, of
the
freedom.
The illusion of freedom and safety,
but really,
you know,
you're just
the
a
thing
cog.
That strikes me about... listening to all this is how this is so foreign to actual reality in America.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I could never imagine living in a world where I have
I just
to
saw people out
security.
Front doing a synchronized dance singing a song. That's how lovely our country really is.
I would love for this to be a TV show because,
yeah.
I'd love for it to be reality. Oh, wait, did I say no?
It's the type of story that I feel, again, I mean, there, we always have that hope, like, oh, one day comic books will be read by everybody, but they won't. So
right.
it is that thing where I go, God, let this be a TV show so the mass population can get
enjoy
this
the
kind
story.
Of, enjoy this story. Because, you know, it's not like novels or TVs or movies where people are willing to try it because... Just but it also it goes back to a conversation we've all had where it is a Vertigo book and Vertigo sounds makes all their money, you know, Vertigo makes a lot of their money on the trades, and Vertigo books do very, very well in borders. So maybe, you know,
maybe
once
everyone's
this,
reading
yeah,
it.
Maybe yeah, maybe once we get, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 trades into this, we will start seeing a reaction from people outside the, you know, that shop at the Borders, Books a Million, the Barnes & Nobles,
yeah.
And all the other major bookstores that will display these kind of, these books that don't look the same and mm-hmm. feel the same, and even, you know, Brian Wood's covers are very
distinctive.
Yeah,
and
you look at them and it feels like a real world thing. It
yeah.
doesn't.
It doesn't
it's
feel
not first, all like. Look at me, that, I'm bubblegummy and I look like a pack of Skittles.
That first, you know, cover was like, I mean, it
can
just
I buy
sort
that
of
book, man?
Struck me right away. The first cover of the first issue of that book was just like, wow, this is not, you know, this is something completely different. This
right.
is, and really attracted me to that book.
Hello, this is Steve Niles, and you are listening to Around Comics.
I'm going to start off with something. I'll stay in line with everybody else because I think it does kind of connect to Rex Mundi and DMC and another non-traditional book, Scalped, Jason Aaron's book.
I'm waiting on trade on that. I'm very
good.
Interested. I think, I mean,
damn,
Jock is doing awesome covers.
Absolutely.
And so I'm waiting on trade on
no,
that.
No, and I don't have it in front of me, so forgive me. I don't remember the artist's name. And I'm sure we can go pick it up.
Ooh,
and everything.
Guerrera?
Thanks, Chris, who's about
Guerrera?
To go run and get it.
I want to say it's...
But Jason Aaron, who also does a wonderful book called The Other Side, and I am waiting on trade for The Other Side, but Scalp really hooked me from the beginning. It's life...
Guerra?
What's
R.M.
that?
Guerra?
R.M. Guerra. Okay, or Guerra.
And it's... or Guerra. And it's edited by Will Dennis.
It's excellent. There's it has kind of a Donnie Brasco component in it, in that a guy, an Indian, returns to the reservation, returns home, and is kind of working undercover to,
right.
to kind of root out the corrupt government hierarchy.
Spoilers.
Well, and I mean, yeah, it's
I almost want to say I almost want to. Oh no, I just want to make I like even when talking about DMZ, I almost want to make sure we pull back a little bit.
Well,
yeah, we don't want to give it too, okay. away too much of this stuff. And
well, it's another slice of Americana that I think a non-comic book reading audience would be very interested in because it talks about the life on an Indian reservation,
right.
including the trappings of the casino, but also because they are
but
allowed by...
Indian reservations, they're happy places.
Yeah, yeah, as they've always been
they
depicted
all
as such.
They wanted to go there.
Yeah, it's really this. I mean, it's not alien because it really is this kind of depressed area that certainly people take advantage of, and you've got your kingpins and you've got your lowlifes that are just trying to get by. It's a great story, and
I'm
thrilled with it.
I'm interested in reading that when it comes to trade because that is a part of. I just got back from Arizona, and you know they pointed out, oh, there's an Indian, and it's really a part of America that I am so uneducated and I know nothing about. And I think a lot of people are in that same boat where they really have. We know that
they're
separate
exist. States.
Yeah,
you know
they're
separate territories. You're right.
And all we ever hear is jokes and you
right.
know, the stabs at oh,
cliches
casinos and they're alcoholics
and, yeah, right,
and blah blah
yeah.
blah. But
it's Chief Pit Boss.
Yeah, like, you know, because the rest of America. Nobody drinks. There's no alcohol.
Oh, no, no.
Oh, my God.
Gambling and, you know.
When I lived in Green Bay, there's an Indian reservation nearby, the Oneida, and they have an Indian casino there.
That's
which
O-Neater?
Is one of the most depressing places I've ever been, because I think casinos in most cases are really
creepy.
Creepy, weird places where, you know,
people on their last
stuff
buck,
like, yeah,
and
I mean,
in
like,
the slot machines.
Old
I love casinos.
I love them. They're the most.
Well, I like strippers.
You know, I agree with Tom because it's one thing to have them in Vegas and even AC to a degree because it's all on the boardwalk and stuff. But yeah, those kind of state casinos are really creepy to me as well.
Well, that's but like bringing it back, that's exactly why
well.
I'm excited to read that book. To almost, what do you call it? When you learn something from comics?
Edutainment.
Edutainment.
Yes.
It is edutainment.
It's
going to
edutain me. So
it's a very good series.
And
I mean,
I would put Mundy and DMZ in that same thing of edutainment because it is.
You're,
it really opens your mind.
You're learning about other things and
no question. And
the thing about Scalp that I love so much is that it's not. While you certainly get the flavor of what it may be like, I don't know what it's like to live on a reservation. I have no idea. But you seem to get that flavor, and I trust enough in Jason Aaron that I think he's done the research and that. But it's not necessarily that's all that story's about. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not like trying to, you know, exploit that. There's a whole different story.
Right.
You know
it's
what I mean?
An encyclopedia entry.
The type,
on
exactly.
Americans.
Yeah.
And I haven't read the Scout or Rex Mundy, but I think that. But in DMZ's case, and you guys can let me know if it's true in these two titles, but the type of books, these books that are outside of what we know as comic books,
mm-hmm.
you know, your normal run the mill superhero books is. I find it so enjoyable to read a book that you can take, you get to watch a character go through an actual arc.
Growth arc, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Which in comic, you know, there's too much in comic books where, you know, the
Well, they're properties. Spider-Man is
yeah,
only going to change
so
much.
We hit the reset button at the end of every story.
Yeah, and I understand why that happens, but as a person who enjoys stories, whether it be movies, books, comic
right.
books, TV shows, the thing, the most intriguing, the reason stories exist is to show you, to whether it's a fantasy or a documentary, it's actually to show you the start and finish line of a person, a thing, a
changing,
situation.
Yeah.
It's to show people that it can go from good to bad or bad to good, or maybe somebody goes from this point A to point B and learns nothing,
mm-hmm.
you know, but that all gets pointed out and you get to take that ride. And I think that's the fun part of storytelling.
Yeah.
And these books that seem not to sell a lot
can do that.
Those are the books that actually.
I so want to talk about my next
yeah,
one,
we
but
act,
we have to get to
you
Chris
know,
first.
That, it's so it's so funny that we talk about these unconventional books when in reality
right.
these are the most conventional
stories
of storytelling
yeah.
Which
well,
one,
known to man.
Right.
Chris, are you going to yeah. pick Star Trek book? Chris,
well,
what
I
are you going to pick?
Beep, boop, nanu, nanu.
I was going to pick Queen and Country, but Sal told me I couldn't today. So.
I never said that.
No, it's normally I would pick Queen and Country because it is definitely an under-the-radar book, so check that out. But
you've talked about
and
it.
And I have pictures of Greg Rucka cut into a heart above
that's
my
a,
bed.
That's
not a heart.
Oh, what is it?
A god.
You don't want to know.
Actually, I do. I've got a.
No.
You have a picture of Greg Rucka.
I've got a Queen and Country.
This is going dark, folks.
I've got a Mike Norton
into the mind
page
of a serial killer.
Issue 27 in my comic room.
All right then.
I got a basement. I don't have a comic room.
Just under the radar, chiming in at 101. Number 103.
101.
And you're talking about comics in non-traditional ways and trying to do things that will get people to try out comics. One way is to cut the page count, cut the price, and take out all the ads. And it almost got him into the top 100, and that is Fell from Warren Ellis and...
Ben Temple Smith.
That's done by Image. It's in their what they call the Fell format. Or
the trade just
one.
Came out.
Yep.
The hardcover.
Hard cover.
Yeah.
Oh, the hard
and trade.
And
it was trade and
oh,
hard
was
cover.
It both?
Can,
they
you
did
can
both?
Buy it as a hardcover
nice.
Or as the trade. I don't know if there's any difference in the content. So now is a great time to jump on board. It's $14.99 for the softcover trade.
I did look at the hardcover and it didn't have all the extras. In
no,
it, that
and
the
I,
single
I,
issues did, which is, I think, another decision that they made along the same lines as...
Well, I think what the deal is, and
they also need
and from, from this, from listening to the Matt Fraction interview with John whenever they were talking about the Casanova, which
right.
I think is another book that we'll probably talk about, is they really need the single issues to
sell.
To sell. That's the only
and
way.
And so they're giving extra stuff in the single issues that you can't get in the trades.
Brubaker and Criminal
right.
is doing the same thing. So pick up the Trade of Fell. Try it out if you haven't already. It is a fantastic read. If you like it, I would definitely suggest picking up issue 9 will be the next.
So, yes.
And the single issues have a fantastic amount of back matter on Ellis's.
Is that a Ghostbuster thing?
Back matter? Back butter?
The toilet when I'm done. Back matter.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's like a 90s.
Too much information, John.
Yeah. Next issue, back matter. But gets into like Ellis's
back
writing
butter.
Style and how he made certain decisions, that kind of stuff. But anyway, Fell is the story, if you're not familiar with it yet, is the story of a detective that goes to Snowtown.
Yeah, it's across a river from a major town. It's a smaller, almost suburban type of town.
Which has gone totally lunatic.
It's almost like a pocket dimension, it seems like. It's a weird place that...
Is this an alternate universe?
I don't know. Something
almost,
strange.
But he was a very successful detective in a major city. Goes across the river into Snowtown, where there are, two and a half...
Two and a half detectives.
One doesn't have legs. It's a messed up book, but it is so good. He gets into one bizarre and usually inspired from true life homicide or kidnapping or
just strange crime stuff. Ellis picks up. I mean, and the nice thing about it is it's not like the same. Not every story is bizarre. I mean, they're usually bizarre.
They have a weird twist.
We have a weird twist, but some are more supernatural than others. Mm-hmm. Some are kind of just straightforward weird crimes.
Yeah.
And others are a little bit more supernatural because he's sort of building up the overall
what is going on in Snowtown.
Exactly.
And it really is kind of a just left of reality. But anyway, it's 16 pages that you feel like you've read a 48 pager whenever
there's $1.99
story in each issue. $1.99, there's no reason not to pick it up unless you're totally turned off by
good writing and
art.
We never talk about
Temple Smith's art in that book enough.
I brought him up. I said go buy his art book, whatever it's called.
It's awesome.
Whatever
called. So anyway, Fell, it's one that we talked about before.
We got here early today, and you had ran out, and I was standing around, and Mark was talking with a customer, and he recommended the hardcover of the new Fell. And the guy's looking at it, and he's like, yeah, Mark's telling him how great the stories are, and it's this cop drama kind of thing, weird, supernatural. Yeah, I just don't like the art. Closes the book, puts it in, walks out. I'm just like, go!
Wow.
As much as I appreciate Ben Temple Smith's art, and I enjoy
it. I can see
it,
that.
He definitely is an acquired taste.
It's a love it or hate it kind of style.
Yeah, it's definitely...
I didn't like his stuff when I first saw him. I didn't care for his
different.
Art when
this
I first
different.
When he first kind of came out.
Hey,
I've acquired the taste.
Really old Sienkiewicz is like there's a kinship between Ashley Wells and
Sean
Smith in this.
Oh, you can take a huge and this come from this week. I went and ordered just about every Sienkiewicz book I could find online. I scoured his website this week, and I don't know. I just got in this kick, and I started looking through his stuff, and the more I started looking at some of his old stuff, the more I went, oh man, this guy really gave birth to almost every
anything
artist.
Like that. Yeah,
like Chris Bocello started off his career and was and I don't know, I'm not one of the people who thinks this is a bad thing. I mean, every artist one artist of one generation creates the next 20 artists of the next generation, and it all starts to branch out. But definitely, you're right in saying that. I mean, Sienkiewicz, I think,
check out his Black Widow miniseries. He did two miniseries in the last year and a half.
First one was better than
the
second.
Dude, go back to Electra Assassin.
I did. I ordered that.
Oh,
I'm waiting on it.
Awesome.
Should be in my house tomorrow.
Miller and Sienkiewicz,
fantastic.
Anyway, I don't want to go too far.
Well,
but
even
but that's the thing.
If you liked
Electra Assassin, I think you'll
Electra Assassin. I just think like there'll never be a day in comics where that kind of that level of artistry will be allowed to happen again.
Again?
I mean, when you look at those pages, whether it's a time situation or just there's not enough money made to pay somebody to do things like that, but
right.
when you look at that book,
there is
not any sweat and love poured into books like there was in that.
They let him take his time.
Oh, good Lord.
Like it or not, he did take his time.
Well, we're going to talk about sweat being poured into something.
You're the segue master.
I know. I'm trying to keep, because all these books deserve to be mentioned.
Well, yeah. One last thing about Hell is that they're almost one and done. There's a great overlapping story
Absolutely.
There, but you can jump in at any time on any issue.
Yes.
So if you see issue 3 of Fell, which was really good, just pick it up, try it out. You don't have to start at number 1.
Yes.
The one I'm going to mention, which is sort of an odd pick because it's on here somewhere. It's Love and Rockets, Volume 2, number 19, which comes in at 2:30. And it's not so much for necessarily this specific issue, but when I see people talk sort of about collected editions and I think about the stuff that I own, I have the hardcovers, and I have Chris's hardcover, too. I have two copies of the Love and Rockets. They have the collected editions of Locus and Palomar, and they're still coming out with Volume 2 issues. If you don't know much about this, and as we were talking about earlier with like DMZ and Rex Mundi and books that follow characters over their change of like their lives, there's no better example than
it's almost
Rockets.
Literal.
Yeah, literally following
Strangers
someone
in Paradise. Yeah,
change, you know, over a course of their own lifetime from being, you see jumps from like being a kid to, you know, being a teenager to being an adult and sort of the reflection of your own life and how your own life will change in those sort of situations. So I think this is a book that if you enjoy DMZ, you heard the thing about Rex Mundi, you like the talks about, you know, characters that change, these books are all about the same characters being consistent and changing and follow what happens to them.
There's probably no better example of that in comics, I think. I mean, it's an amazing accomplishment what they did.
The Hernandez brothers.
The Hernandez brothers. I mean, it literally follows these characters' lives from the early 80s to...
and it's great because, depending on the story, they don't always follow, like, a linear timeline. Like, Locus does... Palomar, you'll jump around a lot and you'll see...
But even so, you see...
You get
And they've, you know, they came out few months ago with
the two hardcovers.
The Tales from Palomar.
Oh yeah, the trade. Yeah,
you know, which was just new stories, and it was just, you know, continuing from where they had left off. And in these characters, if you want to fall in love with characters and watch them grow and change and go through hardship, and I mean it's just amazing, this
you
collection.
You also get to watch artists grow because you see these guys.
Yes,
big
these
time.
Books like And now I'm sort of getting off of this because I'm talking more about the hardcover editions, which are really nice, affordable stuff you can get off of Amazon for like $30.
And they're
I think I got Locus and Palomar for like $65 combined.
You get to watch these guys grow as artists from like 82 to 90, and you see them develop their own style. You know, at the beginning, they're a little bit scratchy. And then as you see how they get so much more bolder with sort of what they're doing. It's a great opportunity to watch characters grow, to watch them as writers grow, and watch as artists grow. Because it's consistent, because they write those characters.
Reading Palomar, and I think you do the same thing. Sometimes I just get in a mood where it's like, you know what, I want to curl up with some Love and Rockets. And it...
You need sex.
That's true.
And I fucked the shit out of that book.
No, it's a book that makes me really happy when I read it, because you fall in love with these characters and you want to see what happens next in their lives, and there's heartbreaking things that happen, but there's really there's a lot of triumph
and
human spirit stories.
Yeah, and these aren't books about, you know, this is not superhero stuff. This is not action adventure stuff.
Small town.
Well, there's some, I mean, in the Love and Rocket stuff in the beginning, there's some fantasy and initially, but once they got beyond that, I mean, it's all character driven stuff. It's all more.
Is there a trade out of this?
There's multiple trades.
Huge
there's
collection.
There's portable hardcovers that collect entire storylines.
But there's also they've just started releasing new trades that are a little more complete. Unfortunately, the hardcovers for whatever reason they skip some stories. But there's some very good trades that are coming out that are I think are going to cover everything. It's such a huge collection of work, and it's just an amazing display of. Literally a lifetime of comic book crafting from two
about
brothers.
Certain characters.
About certain the same characters, and it's just awesome stuff. So,
hi, this is Mike Norton, co-creator and artist of Gravity. And if you're not listening to Crankcast, you should be listening to Around Comics.
My next book is The Goon by Eric Powell. It's an ongoing story that's slowed down from time to time,
next.
But
really good.
For anyone that doesn't know, it's a story about the goon, who's sort of this muscle-bound enforcer that works for a mob boss and his little buddy Frankie, and it's set in a really bizarre sort of fantasy world with demons and the undead and creatures and all sorts of stuff, and the goon's the most feared character in the land. And
the artwork's beautiful.
Artwork's amazing.
Don't start with Satan Sodomy Baby as your introduction.
Yeah, that
goon.
Might not be.
It was funny, but
it's kind of interesting. Sometimes I think the goon, the book itself is sort of it knows that it's a comic, and there's that metafiction. That metafiction part of it that they sort of make fun of that from time to time. But, like you said, Scotty, the art is always amazing.
Yes.
Eric Powell's stuff is just absolutely fantastic. And it's a book that I think a lot of people maybe just kind of glaze over.
Great
or whatever.
Pulp
but
feel to it.
Yeah, it has that.
His art reminds me of E.C. Seeger, the Popeye artist, and it really has kind of a Popeye feel to it, with a little Eisner in there as well. But really, that kind of class, especially if you...
Yeah, it does have a very classic feel to it, and the stories are always funny and irreverent and ridiculous, and it's
zombies.
You're not going to find, any deep meaning to any of the stuff in there, but there's not a whole lot to it other than he beats up guys and, Frankie makes wisecracks and... But the issues are out, and the trade, there's like four or five trades already out for it, but
it's
real good stuff. Check out The Goon.
Scotty!
I'm going to go with a couple trades from a few years back that I think got a bad rap when it came out, because, again, you'll probably hear me say this a million times over forever, that some things are just better read in trade. This is a book that, Steampunk, by Joe Kelly and Chris Bacciello. As a single issue story, very, very hard to grasp onto because there's a lot going on. The artwork was crafted in a way to create a little confusion. I know people complained at the artwork at the time about, oh, it's too confusing, but it was actually meant to be a little confusing because the story is very dense and very hard to read month to month because a lot happens. It's a little twisted and dark, but if you give it a chance to sit down and read the two volumes of it in trade form, it take your time and maybe even read it a couple times. It's this fantastic, almost Mad Max meets Lord of the Rings in a way, love story almost. It's really about a man whose lover is sick, and he takes her to the local kind of experimental scientist doctor to, say every avenue, I kind of went to every avenue. Can you help save her? And he says, yes, if you do something for me. Next thing you know, he wakes up years later, half his body.
I've been there, man. I woke up in a bathtub and my kidney's gone. Hepatitis.
Half his body has been replaced with steam and kind of machinery, so he's kind of disoriented. He's out of time. He goes on the nationwide journey of trying to find the love of his life. He realizes that this doctor who experimented on his love at the time now rules England.
It's fucked up, man.
It's crazy, and I could probably get really... But the artwork is absolutely beautiful. The writing of it is the first time I ever actually heard different accents by the way the writing was and the way it was lettered. Even the lettering
made you hear things as you were reading it, which I think a lot of times in comics, I just see words, I don't ever hear voices. And this was one of the first ones that the lettering, the writing, combined with the fantastic art, made me feel like, this is a crazy cast of characters in a really crazy world. So I think even if you knew about this book and didn't give it a chance, it came out through Cliffhanger at Wildstorm, I would say go back, reread it, maybe read it twice, get it all, and if you don't like it, fuck you. It's sweet.
Go fuck yourself. What's your next pick?
What? Quite the
thanks, Tom.
Transition.
I don't want to bring this up because we love the artist, and he's a guy that pops up on the show from time to time, because that's not the only reason that I want people to check it out, and that is the all-new Adam. And it's not just because we love Mike, and he is a great guy, but it is a really, really good book that not enough people are reading right now. It's one of Gail Simone's funner books that she's working on. I think what trips this book up for a lot of people is that it is a reintroduction of a character that a lot of people had some nostalgic feelings about in Ray Palmer, that they wouldn't necessarily buy the Atom, but not having Ray Palmer as the Atom seems to have upset people, and the new character isn't piquing people's interest.
The funny thing about this book is that I enjoy the nostalgia of Ray Palmer, but really, to be honest, there aren't a huge amount of truly awesome Ray Palmer stories in the last, 25 years,
I think you have to go back to the Gil Kane era to find great Adam
there's
stories.
Some good ones. The Sword of the Adam stuff was okay. The Gil Kane art was great. Yeah, it was just okay.
And it was more Gil's art. Go ahead.
But, this really is the most fun someone's had with the concept of the Adam in a really, really long time.
What I love about it is that Ryan Choi is the new Adam, and I'd never read the Adam, the old series, and having Ryan Choi to follow, it's like he is figuring out his powers and his place in herodom with you. It's like as he's figuring this out, so are you. So it is a great time to jump in.
They have a floating head that warns them about things.
Well, and he's a Ray Palmer fan too. Yeah. I mean, he really, his character was a student who idolized Dr. Ray Palmer and got to know him and came to Ivytown on his invitation, and is just as disappointed, I think, as some fans that where the hell's Ray Palmer and I came here and everything when he's an adult and now a professor. I can understand old fans being disappointed because of where Ray Palmer was last seen at that climatic moment of identity crisis when he finds out that, I don't want to tip anything, but obviously something personal happened in his life. If you haven't read Identity Crisis.
It was 5 years ago.
Okay.
When his wife,
Gene Loring, killed Sue Dibney, and that obviously he helped redeem the situation, but felt he couldn't face his friends, and in a very great, incredible, shrinking man way, disappeared, and it seems to be in the microverse. It's something that's being addressed now in Countdown, but it'll be interesting to see where Ray Palmer, the character, is after Countdown, and if there's enough room for two Adams, as there are multiple Flashes and Green Lanterns. But I agree. I think Gail is writing an excellent book. It's a story that started with a Grant Morrison idea, and he really wrote the template for the book, and Gail was given the assignment, and as usual, Gail passes with flying colors.
It's all just wacky, crazy shit.
Yeah. So it's about science, and science versus magic, and going on great adventures. It is a fun little superhero book.
Speaking of science versus magic, John, what's your pick?
I'll take that transition
Tom
and actually
Bader,
make it
all right.
Featuring, actually, this is my only licensed book that I wanted to mention. Dynamite Entertainment certainly has a lot of very popular licenses right now with Highlander and Red Sonja and the Lone Ranger. And I have to give them credit because I was always a fan of the original Battlestar Galactica. I know how crazy and silly the original Glenn Larson show was. I love what Ron Moore has done with the revamp. And I'm going to list both the classic Battlestar Galactica written by Rick Remender And the new Battlestar Galactica, written by Brandon Gerwa.
You're skipping.
Well, but much like you did the whole Love and round. You did the whole Love and Rockets thing. But see, I am. I just want to include both because I would say if you're a fan of the classic and you want nothing
bullshit.
To do with the new version of Galactica, you got a book that Rip Remender is writing that's doing well. And Dave Dorman is just knocking it out with those covers. They're incredibly great. But also, Brandon Gerwa writing a wonderful book for the newer stuff. And there have been great miniseries. I love the Tom Zarek miniseries that gave his whole backstory, if you know your new Galactica. But even the classic story that Remender did really captured the spirit of the old stories, but also gave it enough of a fun current spin that it's just good old-fashioned science fiction fun. And I really
Speaking
do enjoy
of Tom Caters.
Speaking of good old-fashioned...
Tom, talk now.
Tom,
speaking
go.
Of old-fashioned. Speaking of old-fashioned, there's nothing older than our love for exterminators.
Yay.
There's nothing older and more tread upon and moth-eaten than our praise for...
Now, if he can't pick Queen and Country, how come he gets to pick the exterminator?
Because we all love...
There's a sassy in that.
Yeah. Ooh, Jeff, is it...
This is last night. He's got, he's got short-timer syndrome.
Fuck
damn.
You, fuck you, you're
exactly.
All right.
You're too cool. Gotta torch the place before I leave, man.
I'll see you later.
Exterminators. Just left the building.
That's right. Fuck all of you.
Really?
Bug
no,
he's gonna kick the table as he really
I'm gonna pick Exterminators because it's up to like issue 17, and I've been worried about it getting canceled for about a year now because it's not got the best sales. I hope it sells really great in trade.
Simon says that.
Simon says.
When I talked to Simon, he told me that DC just kind of keeps telling him, "Don't worry about it. It's
I love it.
Don't worry about it." So.
It's a great book about bugs and exterminators and creepy shit and supernatural, and it's a mix of really, like, everyone's had a friend who's lived in a shitty apartment that has had to deal with rats or bugs, and they have one funny story about it, and this book always hits those sort of things about, like, what if you have tons of rats in your house, but also hits on shit that probably hasn't happened to you, like your drug addicted friend coming back from the dead. So I mean,
yeah.
You get
well,
your
whatever. Speak for yourself, yeah. Kate.
What if those rats start like developing team building skills?
Yeah,
you
like
know?
What if the roaches develop? They have a coach coaching them on how to do everything. And you have your Tony Moore has been doing the art here and there. You've also had other guest artists.
Mike Hawthorne did a great turn. Chris Somney.
And it's a great book.
And it also has it
by
also
Templeton right now.
Well, it has a lot, you know, all that stuff. It also has a lot of good character moments and
yeah.
Like interpersonal kind of stuff that goes on between the characters too.
People
so
die for real.
It's a good book.
It's a good book.
Well, speaking of good books, I don't know.
Speaking of
good. My next pick is called Borrowed Time. It's sort of a only in graphic novel format, but they're like small digests, very small consumable books. There's only two volumes out right now, one and two. This book is done by Taylor Devlin. That's the character's name. It's written by Neil Schaefer, art by Joe Infernari, and it's published through Oni Press.
Of Caveman Robot fame.
Caveman Robot fame. They're $6.95 a piece. They're very small digest, very easily consumed as far as page count, but the content of it are much more dense and are extremely enjoyable reads. It's basically a story of a guy who accepts a writing assignment that happens to take place in the Bermuda Triangle. And he goes there, and once he goes there, everything sort of changes in his life and in time.
He gets lost.
He gets very lost and comes back to a reality that doesn't resemble his reality.
Yeah.
The artwork in these are, it's all black and white stuff, but it's very, I don't want to say simplistic, but it's very easy to follow. Artwork. It's very good rendering of the situations. There, you know, this isn't a book that necessarily would serve from having more extravagant art in it because it's grounded by the artwork.
I think one of my favorite things about this book and the simplicity of just like the art, the storytelling of the art, and also in the story is that the main crux of the story, they don't waste a lot of time trying to justify
why the character isn't. It's just like, this is where you are, which is a great thing, because I think a lot of books sometimes, sci-fi books especially, get wrapped up in trying to explain details of why a character ends up
the
in
meta,
situation.
Yeah.
But it's just like,
this is where it is, and
what you are.
And he has to deal with it. Yeah. And, but both volumes have been extremely fun to read, and I'm really excited to see where it goes from there. Most people probably haven't even heard of this book. It's
unconventional only format.
Yeah, very unconventional, very small. They're only about, I don't know, what would you say?
60
probably.
So
yeah,
pages.
Maybe 60 pages each, and they're in digest size. But worth every penny, and extremely good stuff.
And one of like the two books in the last year that I've turned you on to where you're like, hey, that was good.
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely did turn me on to that. And
that, Rex Mundi, and Miss Marvel, I think, are my three
those
claims
are the,
to fame
I think that's about it, yeah.
Other than that, claims shit.
To fame. Scotty, what is your ego pick?
My ego pick. I got nothing.
Snap!
Oh, got nothing. Single teardrop.
Damn.
Snapazilla!
I'm going to pick, this time around, a book called The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, paperback from Image Comics. It's actually the English translation of a European hardcover series of books by Enrique Fernandez is the artist. Writer David...
Chavelle.
After Frank Baum.
Yeah, it's basically just a retelling of The Wizard of Oz.
That's awesome. That sounds awesome. No, I'm serious. It's The Wizard of Oz. They're basic stories of that. The movie would have you believe that they're really cheery. It's like fairy tales.
Right,
dark.
Yes, they are dark. If you go back,
And
the witch in this is actually, you know, scary, and the lion is an actual lion. It's not a man walking on two legs. Even when you see renditions of this, and you know, a million people in comics have done Wizard of Oz over the years, but it's always their take on the movie Wizard of Oz.
Right.
And this is very much more a tale where Dorothy is actually a young girl. The artwork is just stunning.
They duct tape her boobs down like they did poor Judy Garland.
Your
breasts are too big, Judy.
It's digitally painted by Enrique Fernandez. And, it is an amazing, a beautiful book. The story's fun.
Sounds
great. And Wizard of Oz. You know what I mean? You can't go
wrong.
Those
original stories, too, are so great. I always loved Return to Oz when I was a kid, because it's such a dark
It's scary.
Sequel to something.
They're
like,
taking your kids.
Yeah. And I were just talking off.
People
are
like,
awesome.
Drill into your brain.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
But I would definitely say, you know, if you want to look at some beautiful art, you want to kind of almost go back to your childhood a little bit and read an Oz that's not the movie Oz, check it out.
This is Gene Colan, and you are listening to Around Comics.
Actually, I got a great one, and I was very surprised. Jim Valentino at Image has been coming out with a Shadow Line, and some of the books have already gotten some pub, like After the Cape, which is an interesting little superhero as an alcoholic kind of take. But I was really thrilled with how much I've enjoyed both arcs of the Sam Noir books. And they're a lot of fun. What they are is a combination of a typical hard-boiled mystery, but as opposed to it being set in San Francisco in the 1930s, you get a Shaolin that's, or I should say some sort of Shaolin warrior, I guess. I don't know if he's actually a Shaolin priest, but he's just a ninja that is in feudal, Ronin, if you will, in feudal Japan. But with all the trappings of this is my town and you don't pull that crap in my town, and guys named Sam and Eddie are in the book, and it's a lot of fun. Ronan Holiday was the last arc, and it was very short. It was only 3 issues. And the first trade I know is available. The next story arc starts in June, and I do recommend it. But it's they've been a lot of fun, and they've been written by Eric Anderson and Manny Tremblay. And Manny is also doing the art, and Eric does the lettering. It's in the same way that I've enjoyed Hawaiian Dick and how Clay Moore has taken the trappings of a noir story and put it in a different environment. I think Sam Noir does the same thing in a very tongue-in-cheek way of... In the same way that if you like things like Kung Fu Hustle... And some of the
Kung
more
Fu Hustle is the shit.
And there you go. You know,
it's the greatest comic book movie ever made.
Well, and that's the thing, exactly. So I would say that Sam Noir shares a bit of that same sensibility.
Speaking of Hawaiian Dick, is that going to be an ongoing?
That's what Clay has been saying, but I know that Clay keeps getting busy with other projects and stuff. So okay. I certainly hope so. And by the way, if we can put in a quick little shout aside to Clay Moore and Stephen Griffiths and Nick Darrington and all the wonderful artists who have been involved with Hawaiian Dick. That's an excellent series as well.
Yes, it is.
Pick up those two trades without question. My last one, I'm just going to mention it, and then we're going to go into kind of a lightning round of forum posts, because we had forum posters that threw out some great stuff. Ex Machina. Consistently quality read, beginning to end. It's not anywhere near being a top 100 book. Should be. It's right there with DMZ as far as being socially, politically relevant. Great character stories. A little bit of sci-fi. A little bit of action.
Political.
A lot of politics.
And city politics. You know, civic politics.
As opposed to national.
I wanted to throw that in when I came into reading that book, I heard how political it was, and when I read it, I thought, well. When people say political, you instantly start thinking
red versus blue.
Yeah, the red versus blue, the national politics stuff. It is political, but on a way that people sometimes when you say a book's political, you don't want to gotta turn a lot of people off.
Right.
And I almost want to say it is very political, but in a way that you can understand because it relates to a almost community.
Yeah, this is the small municipal politics. And living in Chicago with like Mayor Daley and that sort of. Seeing that sort of politics is very familiar to us.
This is New York, and it's not
as overbearing as I'm a huge fan of The West Wing, but if you watch The West Wing, national politics,
it's a little bigger.
Right, this is a little different. So I would definitely want to throw that in to not scare people off of that book.
And to Vaughn's credit, I think he presents both sides of an argument that some of the stories encapsulate.
In most of the topics he deals with, absolutely.
And we're talking about things like
gay marriage.
Is it cool?
Marijuana.
A controversial piece of art where it's a painting of Abraham Lincoln with the word, N-word on it and stuff. And also, marijuana, that was an excellent issue.
Yeah. Smoke. It was great art.
A lot of mystery, because there's definitely mystery to
science
the character
fiction,
of
there's horror, fiction. There's action.
And there's a superhero
action.
Element done in a way that is unconventional, which is hard to say.
It's all in flashback, but
various ways of showing superheroes have been
done to death.
Brian K. Vaughan has found another unique way of presenting a superhero.
Well, speaking of smoking pot, we have forum posters.
Oh. All right, the first one is from our buddy John Sokol over in New York. Or is he from Jersey? He's from right around wherever. John, but like him. And he did want to remind everyone that this is from ICV2.com. That's where you can check this from month to month.
The top 300.
He says, I've been traveling all week and don't have time to give my input. John.
Well, thanks for nothing.
And he says, okay, I lied.
He got us.
No. Off the top of my head, some great reads. After 100 on the list include Wormwood, Gentleman Corpse, Boneyard, Fell, Wasteland, Optic Nerve, Usagi Yojimbo, DMZ Fables, Jack Fables, Jonah Hex, Conan, and Ex Machina.
Good list, folks.
Yeah,
good job, John Sokol.
Wasteland is awesome.
Matt Kramer says my top two current under the radar books are Hack Slash, which I agree with.
Sealy.
Constantly a top of the stack quality book and always entertaining. Everyone should be reading this book. The ongoing just started, which is easy enough for anyone to jump onto, but there's also a rich history to go and explore. Plus, you can see Robert Kirkman get killed and Scotty Young as a character that draws a slasher hunting squirrel.
I was a character in one book called Comic Book Carnage, and I was in a slasher movie, there's always a survivor. I was the survivor.
Nice.
And I go on to, in my career, where I draw a story that features myself getting killed by an animated squirrel.
Nice.
His other pick is Snake Woman. Awesome writing by Zeb Wells and beautiful art by both Michael Gatos and Vivek Shinde. There's an incredible mythology established, well-developed characters, and just when you think it's a standard cliche story, there's a hell of a twist. There's a 99-cent zero issue out now. That's from Virgin Comics.
I think
Comics.
Matt is actually a big Scotty Young fan, so I want to give him a little shout-out.
Who's Matt, the guy who wrote this email?
Matt Kramer.
Matt Kramer.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it. And thanks for bringing up... it's funny, you brought up me, and then
Zeb.
Zeb is a huge friend of mine. Love him to death, and he's a fantastic writer. I think if I had to say people under the radar... Zeb's one of them. He's fantastic. I know he's known for his comedic stuff, but he's awesome.
Also, say on Hack Slash, I thought the Hack Slash Chucky
Free Comic Book Day.
No, it wasn't Free Comic Book Day.
No,
it was
the miniseries.
No, it was just it was a one shot.
It was only
it was a one shot. It was a fun one shot and actually a good introduction to Hackslash because they kind of cover a lot of stuff. Or you can always buy Hackslash at
Pullbox Online.
Pullboxonline.com.
Dan C, our buddy Papercut on the forum, he hit a list. Maintenance by Jim Massey and Robbie Rodriguez. Issue 3 was ranked 287 in April. Very funny book that had me seriously considering naming my next child Cobra McPunch. Boy or girl, it really doesn't matter with a name that tough. Wasteland by Anthony Johnson and Christopher Mitten. I'm surprised that it's still so low after all the good word of mouth for this book, but then I guess I shouldn't be. That's what this topic's about, right? Good books that with maybe not so good sales numbers. Which means I should. I also shouldn't be surprised that books like DMZ, Welcome to Tranquility, Invincible, and Irredeemable Ant-Man and Criminal aren't in the top 100. A number that I guess is fairly arbitrary for the purpose of this discussion. Oh, who knows?
Well, I think we see, you know, the power of the internet is not all powerful because these are all books that get tons of play on message boards and podcasts.
I'm pretty convinced that there's about 8,000 comic book readers that go online on a consistent basis of the 150,000 comic book readers.
One of them is Chris Chavez, who wrote Iron Man Hypervelocity.
Oh, just cut me off.
I've heard a lot of great things about
the knees.
That. And I give credit to Marvel when things went bad with Warren Ellis and Avi Granoff in terms of their series
Tom
coming
grows
out.
A mustache,
they've really like put out a call and put out a lot of really great Iron Man product. The Knopfs have the regular book on track again, but I heard a lot of great things about Hypervelocity.
I don't know what has to do with Hypervelocity, but this should be the regular Iron Man title and not that Tony Stark is a weasel that spun out of Civil War. Mm. And that was air quotes.
I actually am enjoying the initiative Iron Man series.
Wrong.
You have bad taste.
I really enjoy it.
Barnson? I would add Fall of Cthulhu by Boom Studios and Pirates of Coney Island by Image. Speaking of, I have no jokes. Go ahead.
R.H. Coop also wants to add Wasteland, which has been mentioned. Rakato, great book.
Yeah,
Criminal,
awesome.
Fell, Jack of Fables, Conan, and the Midnight God, Nightly News, and Phonogram.
Nightly News.
Big
John Hickman. Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of good books, not in the top 100. Nightly News and Phonogram have been great. I'm really digging Jack of Fables. Obviously, I read Fables 2, Criminals, and Fell.
I think Nightly News is going to be an awesome traded collection.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when issue 6 finally comes out.
Yeah, yeah.
Jonathan,
out.
You listen. I know you do.
Get out. Hear me now. Believe me later.
Jonathan's probably buying more RAM for his computer because that is a design-heavy book.
Can I throw a couple more books out there
Absolutely.
Before we finish?
Oh, my God.
I'm not going to talk long about it. I just want to mention them. I want to throw out their Powers by Michael Bendis,
New
Michael
X-Men.
Oeming. You know, really kind of what propelled them to stardom to some degree, and
I really enjoy Powers.
It's just a good book every month, and it's been good from the beginning. It's never really faltered.
I'd like to see that as a TV show,
you know?
Yeah,
you guys
absolutely.
Enjoyed it so much, you would have picked it as one of the three picks you had.
Negative Burn.
Anthology.
$5.99.
I think
the price scares people off, and that's why it drops
by the trade.
Down. Negative Burn is. Every issue is a quality anthology piece to really expose you to a lot of great talent out there.
Another book is Criminal Macabre by Steve Niles,
sure.
Which is a book I think some
Cal
people...
McDonald.
Yeah, the Cal McDonald mystery. It's an actual ongoing series, but it's been broken up into...
Yeah, the arcs.
Different arcs, and they don't always come out on a consistent basis. It may be a few months.
They come out in clumps.
Yeah, they exactly. But there's 20 issues out so far. There's, I think, 5 trades that are out.
So, two short stories. Two shorts well.
and consistently very good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Just funny and
detective
you know
meets
detect.
Monsters.
Yeah, exactly.
And a great thing.
All
good
right,
stuff.
Real quick. Anybody else?
I have like 3 more.
Okay.
I know.
What the fuck?
Well, hey, yeah, you
name
didn't get
them
to. Dynamo 5. I know, Tom, you're a big fan of Dynamo 5.
Forever, yeah. Excellent.
One, yeah, just a good superhero book. Mm-hmm. The Killer, which is an adaptation from a French book. From Arkea Studio Press. which is just fantastic. It follows the life of an assassin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what was it? I had one more.
While you're thinking, I wanted to mention Brian Azzarello's Death Blow from Wildstorm, a great series. And Left on Mission from Boom Studios, an excellent spy series that issue 2 just came out. I really enjoyed the art. And Gamekeeper from Virgin, Guy Ritchie, who was directing the thing, but Andy Diggle, it's a wondererly written book and great, beautiful art.
Tom, you got any others?
I picked the ones I've got more. I did, because I just picked.
All right, Sal, last one, real quick.
Well, I got like five.
One.
Let me just do I won't say anything other
Jesus
than the names. Miss Marvel from Brian Reed. Green Lantern Corps. Hellblazer, the new.
If any of you buy these, I'm going to fucking kill you.
Last one, American Century, which was a book that came out Howard Chaykin and David Tishman years ago. You can get the first couple of trades. Fantastic expatriate stuff. It's
got
awesome.
Any others?
24/7.
Oh, well, then I'm going to put on Stanley Jack Kirby Fantastic Four.
All right, my last one wraps it up.
No! No, honest to God, this is ridiculous.
Honest to God!
This is fucking ridiculous.
Shut up.
Peterbilt.
BPRD, pick it up. All right, we're done.
God, no. Anyone?
No.
Does anyone have nine more?
No, we're
more?
Not done.
They want a fucking ad at the end?
Yes, actually.
All right, folks, I hope you enjoyed our under-the-radar picks. Hopefully we piqued your interest, and you'll check out the multitude of books. Right, Tom?
Yes, yeah. Just go. Don't... I'm the squeaky one that doesn't want to be here.
All right, there are a few different ways that you can interact with the show. One of those is our listener hotline. Sal?
1-888-65-GCAST. Give us a call. Play it on the show.
Just like this.
Hey, Around Comics, it's David D. calling. I hope you guys have been well. I've been loving the show lately. Some really great episodes. Great to hear Matt Fraction on the show again. And I've really enjoyed the sort of, you know, how the sausage is made behind the scenes stuff, like the freelancer discussion and the Comics 101 and the Josh Blaylock stuff. My only complaint has been that, since episode 92, we haven't had any more Ellen Baker dark side slash fiction. I thought that was great, and, you know, the thing is, if I don't get that from you guys, where on the internet will I find it? So I just hope you guys take that under advisement and continue doing great shows. Thanks. Goodbye.
We're working on an opus.
Next.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David. Always good to hear from you. That David sent that in like a month ago.
Yeah, it's been a while.
We got through a time when we weren't all here and blah, blah, blah. So, David, thank you so much. It's always good to
hear. But if you don't want to leave us a voicemail, you can always leave us an email at news@aroundcomics or Tom@aroundcomics or Chris@aroundcomics or Sal@aroundcomics or Scotty@aroundcomics. And we'll read it on the show. We'll try to just like this.
This is from Kevin. Sorry. Hi, guys. Great show. Listen to it every week. My question relates to how to scale down my collection. You can throw it out. You guys have probably all encountered this problem with your books, but I now have far too many long boxes. I'm running out of space on my bookshelves. How do I trim down? Now, I realize I am not going to make money, but I would like to recover as much as possible in the hopes of flipping whatever I do get into new books. My questions are as follows. Number one, how do I sell? I don't think my LCS is that enthusiastic about buying product back, so it seems that the internet is my only option. That being said, do I recall you guys mentioning trading up, i.e. flipping floppies for trades? How did that work for you? I ask because I want to have an idea of what to propose to my LCS.
I do it here at the shop. If, say, a criminal comes out and trade, and I'll say, hey, Mark, are you interested in taking my criminal issues and packing them up and selling them as a set? And he'll usually give me a pretty hefty discount on the trade. You know, maybe 30%, maybe 40%, maybe 50%. Depends on how popular or how in demand the original floppies are. When the Marvel Zombies hardcover came out, those first issues were still very very collectible, very sought after, and so he traded me straight up the hardcover for the original issue.
That option's very much a store-to-store situation.
Yeah.
And it's store-to-store.
There's really no advice.
I mean,
it really just...
Depends.
Your shop would be the people to ask, I guess.
There's a website that was called WeBuyComics.com. I don't know if they still exist or not, but they would buy in bulk. and didn't care what you put in the long box, but it was a way to recoup some money back.
But generally, in that circumstance, you're going to get the least amount back on that.
But at least it's
something.
So we have no advice for your first question. The second question is, so if I sell on the web, is eBay the best option?
Yes.
Are there dedicated comic sales forums elsewhere on the web?
There are.
eBay, you know, he answers every one of his own questions in his question.
eBay is probably the best because it's probably the most...
The largest amount of people are going to see it.
The largest amount of people, the most protection for you as a seller.
Right,
the
exactly.
Most, you know, that's where most serious people are going to go look for stuff. So eBay is probably your best option. How should I price things? 50% off at cover price? Is there a ballpark figure? If you're selling something, search for it on eBay to see what other people are selling for. Mm-hmm. And then base it off of that. If other people are selling for it for 50% off, then sell it for 50% off. If it's Armageddon Inferno, don't try and sell it for $20.
I found for like more recent stuff, because I've been selling stuff on eBay and trying to get rid of stuff as well, and a kind of rule of thumb that I've been using is like a buck an issue, really, and if you're looking to get rid of it, I mean, people will buy it at that price.
And I know a lot of shops, instead of using like the street guide, the books, they use eBay to set market value,
right,
because that is what the true market value is. So what Tom says, check the pricing on eBay. That'll give you a good idea.
Yeah. This is the one I puzzled over the most. Shipping. How do you ship the books? Recommend packaging? What about selling complete runs? Books weigh a ton, and I don't know how to estimate shipping charges. The buyer should pay these, and I don't want someone paying more in shipping than they are for actual books.
Just weigh them.
Weigh them before you send them. Yeah. Figure out how much it's going to cost.
Don't weigh them before you send them. Weigh them before you post them on for sale.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right.
Then you could put the calculator in there. People put where they're from, it's all taken care of. You don't have to do anything else.
Depending on what it is.
Media mail is probably the best way to go through the U.S. Postal Service. It's the cheapest, and you can do a lot bulk-wise.
Media mail takes forever. Usually.
It does take. It takes a long time for media mail. Or you can do the first-class prepaid boxes, which are a flat rate. It doesn't matter how much it weighs, as much as you can shove in those boxes, and they're like $580 or something for
but
the box.
But always be very descriptive of how you're going to shove them all into a box. Tell people if you're going to do that, I'm shoving them
right.
In
the box.
Especially from eBay, the ones I've bought and stuff, people have at the very least bagged and boarded them and then had some sort of like bubble
wrap or something.
Yeah, or bubble wrap.
Just be very descriptive of how you're
going to do it. The bottom line, I sold a lot of original art, and I sell my books, my sketchbooks online. I make sure I know all my information before I even post the thing for sale.
Yeah.
Like Tom said, be very descriptive, and you're good to go.
And if you want to keep selling,
if you're just going to
that way, the buyer, it's all in the buyer's hands from that point on. You don't have to do another
thing. If you're going to just drop them in a box and send them, say, I'm just going to drop them in a box and send them. And that's
and price accordingly.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you want to keep selling, do exactly what you say you will do.
Right. All right. He said thanks.
Listen to your talk with Steve Rude, and was he serious? The whole thing about Baron's writing was like, wow. Also, my buddy and I are fledgling podcasters. I'm curious as to how you get the show's files so small. Your shows are generally way over 60 minutes, and you have to average 25 megs or so. Thanks.
That was an email from Swain.
Steve Rude was serious, as far as we could tell. He never really
said he wasn't serious.
He's not sarcastic.
He's not. Yeah, he doesn't. Yeah, I think he's a very candid person. As far as the file size, it's all in the compression rates and what you're recording them at. Our compression is very good. I had to search out good software to do it. If you're using something like Audacity, I would recommend compressing it into a WAV file first, then reopen that WAV file in Audacity and recompress it as an MP3. You'll save quality. It's all a balance between sound quality and size. And
on the last email about turning over books and whatnot, I also want to remind people that you can check out Sequential Swap. It's a great place to send old books that you want to pass on and get books from other people. It's a great way. It's a great community that trades books out. So that's
Keith Cunningham said, "Hey guys, finally got around to reading Fraction's Sensational Spider-Man Annual Number 1, and I felt compelled to write it in about it.
Why?
Don't be surprised if this is the best single comic issue to be published this year. It seriously blew me away, and I love Fraction's handle on Spidey. Seriously, Marvel execs, listen up. Yeah, because they all listen to us. We all know that JMS is leaving Amazing soon, and if you're smart, you'll put Matt Fraction on that book. The
that
man knows."
Happen.
How to write him some Spidey. Until next time, Keith.
That would not surprise me if that announcement comes in San Diego and Chicago. And I have no foreknowledge of that, but I do know that Matt will be making a big announcement or is tied to a big announcement this convention season. So I'd love to see it.
I think it's only upwards for Mr. Fraction.
Yeah, and I think he would love to write Spider-Man.
All right, and that was a fantastic issue. It was a really great one shot.
All right, our next email. Hey guys, this is Eichenheimer, longtime listener, first time emailer. First off, Scotty Young is awesome.
Sweet.
He makes a great addition to the panel, and I love his humor. Let us know when he goes to another book so I can start buying it. Sorry, I'm not buying new X-Men. For you or anyone.
Oh, fuck you, bitch.
The JSA Comics 101 episode was spectacular. Loved every moment. Thought I'd take Sal up on his challenge for us listeners to come up with ideas for Comics 101. How about one of these? Magic in comics. You could either do a part one with DC and a part two with Marvel or do it all together. Just go over the characters in comics that have magic-based powers or some connection to magic.
Oh, Jesus.
The mechanical heroes focus on the characters that either are all robot or have robot parts, like Cyborg or Shudder, Cable.
Would Sarge Steel counter that?
Yes. Yep. Super aliens, all the comic-related character or all the comic characters from other planets. Monkeys, enough said. And last, maybe some creator spotlight episodes. Brian K. Vaughan just handed over duties on Runaways to Joss Whedon, is wrapping up Why and writing a screenplay, is now working on Lost and is just awesome. Maybe going to a creator's history and comics and such. I think that would be very interesting. Plus, people that don't know about an indie book done by their favorite creator could have some new ideas the next time they're looking at trades in Borders. Plug. That's my two cents. Love the show, love the panel, and love monkeys. Eichenheimer.
I don't anymore.
But he did say, P.S. I especially feel a connection with you guys, except Tom, because I, too, am a graphic designer. Whenever I do a design while listening to your show, I associate that design with whatever topic you were discussing from then on. That is why I always associate Matt Fraction with auto parts stores and compound paths.
Nice.
So does Matt, actually.
I'd say, as far as like creator spotlights, we have toyed around with the idea of maybe doing a Will Eisner Comics 101 at one point. That would be the obvious one to start with there.
Yeah, as much as I like Vaughn, I don't know that, I mean, he merits it at this point yet.
Yeah.
Seriously?
All right. The voicemails, the emails,
dude, we have an hour
everything.
Flash in the pan.
So much.
I don't know if you can do it.
Everyone, it was a flurry of listener interaction in the last week, so thank you so much. Want to remind everyone that there are other ways that you can interact with the show. You can help us by spreading the Around Comics love. You can do that by taking us up on our listener LCS challenge. There's a flyer at our homepage. Just download it. Ask your local comic shop manager or owner if they'll display it in the shop. If they do so, we'll mention both you and the shop on the show and provide a link to the shop at our site. And we had someone take us up on that. It was Anthony. He says, "Hey guys, I'm new to comic books, both as a business and a reader. I work in a hobby shop and talk the boss into carrying comic books and trades. We've been dealing in sci-fi and fantasy related models and collectibles for years. I thought comics would be the perfect addition to that department. I listened to you guys to stay updated on what's new. I've ordered comics for the store, such as White Picket Fences and Exterminators, because I heard about them on your podcast. I just got hooked on the Punisher comics after seeing a more recent Punisher movie. Gosh, I'm sorry about that. I also wanted to let you know that I posted a flyer for your podcast/website in my store. I also do a podcast, and we'll mention you guys the next episode this Wednesday. The website is for my podcast, www.scifiandfantasypodcast.com, and the website for my store is www.highwayhobby.com. Keep up the good work, Anthony. And his store is Highway Hobby House, 806 Route 17 North in Ramsey, New Jersey. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Anthony. All right, you can also interact with us by becoming our virtual friends at comicspace.com.
When it's working. Comics,
myspace.com/aroundcomics. And you can always leave us an iTunes music review. It makes me very happy when I see new ones. So special thanks to Todd42.
Make sure to check out all the great things that aroundcomics.com has to offer. It's your source for the best in comic book news, reviews, and opinions. Well,
Well,
that's maybe hyperboiled, but
we are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. Find more great podcasts at comicspodcast.com.
And just so everyone is aware, we post the next week's topic on Tuesdays at our forum, or maybe Wednesdays at aroundcomics.com.
News waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades.com is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more. All at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders are $50 ship-free, and they never ask you questions about what you buy. Whether you're buying an absolute edition or catching up with showcases and essentials, InStock Trades is your new best friend and will not question your decisions.
We are...
I once got an email from Cameron saying, you really want to buy that? You never.
All right.
We are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who may need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809.
And please remember about our Be a Hero contest.
Not a zero.
You got it. Give.
Until it hurts.
You get totally laid.
Really?
Awesome. Yeah. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us tonight. Thank you so much for all the forum posters, for sending in great suggestions, for sending us emails, voicemails, etc.
For loving me.
Scotty Young.
For telling Scotty he's awesome.
Yeah. I had the time of my life.
And I owe it all to you. Time of my life.
Around comics, memory. You idiots.
Farewell, John. Hey, thank you for spending
you to Mr. Sunford.
So much time
we
with
love
us.
You, John.
Boys, my pleasure. And,
enjoy your afterlife.
Exactly.
John's dying.
Exactly. Now I'm just going off to radio where everyone talks.
We're
to
all
me.
We're all
hey,
very,
how you doing? Hey, I'm doing fine. How are you?
We're all very happy.
Fantastic.
While we're all very sad that you won't be around as much, John, we're all true. Very happy that things are going well for you now. And
yeah.
And,
no, I'm psyched. I got a new Chicago radio gig, and it starts next week, so it will cut into my Around Comics time, but occasionally I will probably stop by. And
our paycheck isn't enough for you?
No, sadly, no. Sadly, no.
A hug.
Around
zero's hug.
Hug.
Zero's hug
and a fuck
bills,
you.
Thank you, exactly.
A handshake and a reach around.
Maybe a slice of pizza.
But now I'll be around. Listening and enjoying the show and looking forward.
Dan DiNeo is very upset, but I'm sure you guys will be fine, and I'm always available for a quick
like
DC
a
Nation
podcast.
Talk.
It'll be a podcast you haven't listened to, though. So yeah. It's like it'll be an all-new surprise.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, I really
goodbye,
do. Exactly.
Jeffrey,
I haven't been listening because I'm on every week, so it's like, why do I need to listen? I was there.
I'm expecting voicemails from the hotline.
We want a goodbye
all right,
from Harry Carey.
I'll try and do that.
We need a Harry Carey goodbye.
Boy, oh boy, as we say goodnight from the friendly confines of Dark Tower, we all remind you that to join us for our next telecast as the Around Comics guys face the spinner rack and make decisions on their top of the stack. Make sure you join them, won't you? Until next time, this is Harry Carey saying bye-bye, everybody.
Would like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007. All rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone? Why you got my left alone? I know that you don't love me. Oh, baby, what is wrong? Let me, oh, let me, baby, love you.
Hello again, everybody. Harry Carey from Wrigley Field on a beautiful day for baseball.